people next to us, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Today's title is The Content and the Motive of the Gospel. It's the content of the Gospel, and there's also the motive of the Gospel. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And who do we proclaim the Gospel to? We must proclaim the Gospel to the field. And so praying for your field is very important. Even if you do not evangelize in the field, you must at least pray for the field, pray for your region. And continue to hold on to the prayer topic of who is it that God has prepared to be saved in the region. And that is the prayer of the child of God. So you must always pray, how can I proclaim this gospel in the field? Specific time of Jesus, where he saw the beginning of the gospel very important. And whenever he went to the field, he did not go alone. He brought his disciples with him. But behind the disciples, there were also thousands of numbers of crowds that followed Jesus. And their diseases were healed. And their weaknesses were healed. And diseases that medically could not be resolved was healed. And through these rumors and those rumors, many individuals came to Jesus. And they believed if they came to meet Jesus, then all their problems would be solved. And so they came and followed him. But there are also individuals who did not see that. And that was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish people, the religious people. And why was that? Jesus went to the poor, to those who needed healing. He went, proclaimed the gospel to them, saved their soul. He healed their medical and their physical and mental and spiritual problems. And Jesus was doing that. But why was the Pharisees jealous of that? Why did they hate Jesus for doing that? It is because the Pharisees' walk of faith from the very beginning was incorrect. They lived the walk of faith without the gospel, and that's why they're seized by legalism. And that they had the ideology of the Messiah. And the Messiah came as the Christ to solve empty on the cross, and yet they did not understand that. And this baby boy that was born in Bethlehem, right, grew up, is walking around saying he is Jesus, saying that he's the Messiah has come. And they're rising these miracles, those miracles. And because of that, the Pharisees, who did not believe that Messiah would be born like that, you know, were jealous of him, were thought he was a problem. That's why they persecuted him, even tried to made a plot to kill him. So what must we be able to see? We have to see the hidden things of these Pharisees and Sadducees. Right, it's like the backstage. You have to see the hidden things behind them. We have to see the hidden backstage of them, or else we cannot proclaim the gospel to these individuals. Or how many people are in the church? Is the church big or small? That is not the issue. Church must proclaim only the gospel. Church must proclaim only the gospel. Because that is the church. But the Pharisees had political strength, had political authority. And they were seized by the ideology of the chosen nation, the ideology of legalism, the ideology of nationalism. And so they did have amazing political authority, political power, and they were seized by that. But if you look at their hidden backstage, on the up front, it seems that they are very powerful, that they're influential. And they can, you know, make laws, put people into prison, can persecute those who believe in Jesus Christ. And on upstage, it seems that they are amazing, strong, political people. But the backstage, behind them, what are they actually doing? They are colonized by Rome. And because they are colonized, they should be crying in tears without eating, you know, and trying to struggle to be free and to, you know, to hold on to the gospel more and more. But instead, because they had a political authority, because they had political influence, they were satisfied with that, and that they persecuted those who might take away that authority. That's when they went and persecuted Jesus and his disciples. But that may be what the church is like. Right? We have received salvation. We have been emancipated. Our problems have been resolved. We are witnesses, but we're not living the life of the witness. And you're just satisfied with the fact that you are saved. But the more you live this church life, things should be resolved, but it's not being resolved. And like the Pharisees, in the backstage of your life, you're actually living with suffering, with hardship, with problems. Like Pharisees. And there are many times we live like this. And in John chapter 3, verse 1 to 15, among the Pharisees is a person named Nicodemus. And he's the teacher of the law. At night, he quietly came to where Jesus was, and he asked this question. He says, "Teacher, he says, how can I receive salvation? Or how can I enter heaven?" Other Pharisees were busy, you know, showing their authority and their power as a Pharisee and persecuting people and killing people. But Nicodemus was truthful in asking Jesus how to receive salvation. Right? We must not live the religious life. Right? Like Nicodemus, you must speak of the truth that is inside of you. People only try to show the outside part of their lives. But that's not the gospel. That's not what it means to believe in Jesus. The gospel is the light. The gospel is life. And because the gospel is life, the gospel enters you, the darkness in you will flee. And even if it is hidden, that hidden problem will be resolved and it will be healed. And that's the true gospel. But the Pharisees were not like that. But only Nicodemus was truthful in that he came at night and saying to Jesus, "How can I be saved? How can I enter heaven?" And what was the answer Jesus gave to him? "You must be reborn by water and by spirit, or else you can enter God's kingdom." And Jesus talking about being reborn. But he doesn't understand what it means to be reborn by water and spirit. Though he studied the Bible, though he knows the Bible, he didn't understand what that meant. And so there are many individuals that has lost hold of the gospel. There are many people who come to church, but come to church losing hold of the gospel. But because you have heard the gospel, I believe that you have the light and life inside of you. So you must have spiritual restoration. You have to restore all of your lifestyle. But this may be what the believers are facing today. They may lack the contents, the method, the assurance of the gospel. Right? We must be the opposite, that we must know the content, we must know the truth of the gospel, the assurance of the gospel. But there are people like Nicodemus who just comes to church. So what does it mean to be reborn by the water and spirit? It means that Jesus Christ, the one that finished all the problems, must be inside of you as your Savior, as your Master. And that's salvation. Is Jesus Christ really with you? Believing in that is salvation. Is the Holy Spirit really inside of me? Believing in that is salvation. So please have this assurance to be victorious. Acts 6, verses 1 through 7. Jesus was talking about God's kingdom. And the disciple says, when will the kingdom of Israel be restored? That's when Jesus said, that is not for you to know, Acts 1, verse 1 through 7. And Jesus said, that is not for you to know, but you receive power the Holy Spirit because when you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So even disciples were asking Jesus the wrong question. Because the Israelites were colonized, these disciples asked, when will this nation be restored? And they're asking a physical question. Before Israel is physically restored, you must first be free from the background of Satan, of hell and sin. You must be restored. You must be, free from the spiritual background. You must be spiritually free, but even disciples are asking for the physical freedom, not the spiritual freedom. And so they are understanding the gospel through the methods and the actions of the physical life. So we have to know this spiritual background and save the field. There are many believers who don't understand this mystery and live their life in the church. And so if an elder makes a mistake or commits a sin, then they make excuses of that and they don't come to church. And so many believers leave the church and have trials. And say, why is the pastor like that? Is why the believer is like that? And they only see the physical things. Right? But that's not true. Before physical emancipation, you must have spiritual emancipation. You have to know spiritual mystery. That's when Jesus spoke about the things pertaining to God's kingdom for 40 days. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. Apostle Peter proclaimed the gospel and raised a crippled beggar. And because of that incident, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, right, they put Peter and John in prison because they spoke about Jesus Christ. And they made a plot to kill him. And then Peter comes to court. And look how evil the Pharisees are. Right? Even if you don't believe in Jesus, helping the poor, helping the need itself is morally a correct thing to do. Right? If you see someone who's been suffering their entire life, and that person finally stood up and walked, right? You should all be clapping, saying that's a miracle, no matter if you're a believer or not believer. But the Pharisees don't clap at all. they don't care if this man has been freed from this fate. All they ask is, what name did you use to raise this man? And that's the incorrect ideology. And that means they have no faith. So in what name and what power did you raise this man? And so they brought Peter and the witness, the crippled beggar, into this place. And with what name and power did you raise this man? If you come to church without the gospel and seized by legalism and come to live your walk of faith, you become more evil than non-believers. You become evil and worse. You become very evil. And so if the child of God really corrupts, then they become more evil and more corrupt than believers, than non-believers. And they become very evil. So in the Bible, it says that you become more evil because the evil spirit will enter you 7 times more. And these people are completely trapped and enslaved by the evil spirits. And so they're very evil. Right? Non-believers who don't even know about Jesus saw a crippled man, you know, who was crippled from birth, finally arise and stand and walk. And they should be clapping and saying that's a miracle. But these Pharisees who know the Bible are not clapping for that. And that's when a lot of the mobs start to arise. And these, you know, when a politician mobilizes the mob and the gang, then no one can do anything about that. And they finally said, don't talk about Jesus anymore. We have to understand the spiritual background and proclaim the gospel to them. As you come to church, it's not about attending church, but it's about believing in Jesus Christ. You have to know the content of salvation that you have received through Christ Jesus and live your walk of faith. So please enjoy this blessing. But then Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter confesses, salvation found no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Affirm that Christ is found at death, Peter confesses the one and only confession of faith. That there is no other name given to us by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And these Pharisees are persecuting the Christians so much that they formed a team to go and capture the ones who proclaimed the gospel. And they made this the team of experts who go persecute. And among that was Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. It was Paul. But on the way to Damascus, he meets Jesus. He completely converts to Saul. Like Saul from Paul. Not only that, Acts 12, verses 1 through 25. In Acts chapter 17, now they mobilized the mobs to go and capture believers. And who did all this? It's the Pharisees, the Jewish people. People who come to church without knowing what the gospel is, those religious people. They're the ones who completely try to kill those who proclaim the gospel and persecute them. In Acts 12, verse 1 to 25, they use the royal authority. And, you know, uses the politics and uses the king to try to persecute the Christians. But even in the midst of all this, just remember, they went to the field and continued to proclaim the gospel. And so today, all of us. And even in the midst of all this persecution, who must we proclaim? Matthew 16, verse 13 to 20. We must proclaim Christ, that it is only Christ, Jesus asked disciples, who do the people say I am, and who do you say I am? But this was the most important, essential question to the believers and to the Pharisees. Who do you say I am? Even to believers who believe in Jesus, this is the question that you need to ask. Who do you say I am? In other words, what is the color of faith that you possess in living your walk of faith? That's the question Jesus is asking. And that's when Peter confesses, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's when Jesus said, and I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys to heaven. And I will give you answers to prayer. May you have the faith where you can lower everything else and not sway whatsoever. You must build your faith on top of Christ. It's not about the power. It's not about the role. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. The Pharisees' interest was all in what they have, what they don't have, or the power. And when you start to people together at early church and they start doing the Tarpa movement, they try to prevent that because they don't want people to gather there. And they persecute so much that people will gather in their side, not on their other side. That's why Jesus in his public ministry says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of me, and heaven is theirs. He says, blessed are those. We must have the faith that does not sway, because you are the church. This is the gospel church, is a church building, but you yourself are the church. You must not sway. And the faith must be on top of Christ. Then the gates of Hades, force of darkness cannot overcome you. And Satan cannot overcome you. The background of hell cannot overcome you. Lower all your anxieties, all your worries, and pray to God. Why? Because God gave you the blessing to receive answers to prayer. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And that's how important your thoughts are. It's not important praying a lot. It's more important to change your thoughts. It's not important doing a lot of Bible study. It's about changing your thoughts. Change your thoughts to God's word, to God's covenant, to God's plan. Changing your thoughts, then the answers will come to you quickly. Please enjoy this blessing. I'll build my church upon this rock. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. And we have been given this amazing blessing. But why do we have worries? Why are we anxious? Like these people, like the Pharisees, we're not changing our spiritual state, and we're trying to change environmental state. And we're being deceived there. These people want to do better on the outside. Even though the inside of their life is completely captives. And seven disasters came upon them. Their posterity is, you know, being deserted, is scattered all the world. And they lost their own nation, their country. And all these disasters are upon them. But they're only focusing on the outer appearance of the position as a Pharisee. And even disciples are influenced by this. That's why they asked Jesus, when will our nation be restored? And they asked this question. And Jesus said, that is not for you to know. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What does our nation being colonized and the filling of the Holy Spirit have to do with each other? Although we are colonized, I will give you the power to be overcome that colonization, and that's a spiritual power. That's why when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. And that's the answer that Jesus gave to us. You may have those worries, but what's going to solve all those worries? Who must help you? Must you work harder? No. You must gain spiritual strength. You have to see the work of God. You have to see the power of God. That's what you experience first. You experience the new strength. Don't be scarred by things that's not taking place in the physical world. Experience the new strength that God gives you. That's filling of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without our strength. That's when you must receive the strength that comes from God. That's filling of the Holy Spirit. Please endure this answer first. And then Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Peter, John, James went up to the mountain with Jesus. So even among 12 disciples, Jesus gathered separately the three disciples. And so these three were the major disciples. And so Jesus took those who confessed that Jesus Christ to the mountain with him, among the 12 disciples, and then went to Mount Transfiguration. But this Mount Transfiguration was very beautiful, it was very radiant. So what does Peter confess? Let us build a house, three houses here. How much does it cost to build one house? Right, you can buy a house and it will cost a lot. But what is Peter saying? He's not saying let's buy a house. Right, he doesn't even have a job because he's following Jesus. Right, in the past at least he was a fisherman. But now he can't even fish because he's just following Jesus. And are you going to get any wage from following Jesus? Of course not. He's just following Jesus. Yeah, at Mount Transfiguration, Jesus took the three disciples that confessed Jesus Christ, and it was very beautiful, it was very radiant. He says, let's build three houses here, even though they have no money. Yeah, that's very stupid. But he says, let's build three houses. One for Moses, and the other for Elijah. And then the third one for Jesus. So let's build these three houses. He just confessed, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet, what remains inside his head? The law of Moses is inside his head, right? The legalism is still inside of him. And Elijah, the unhealthy mysticism, that mysticism is still inside Peter. Because they're the representative of the Old Testament. And then finally, he says, let's build a house for Jesus. And so he does still have the gospel. And this is what the existing believers are like today. These thoughts don't separate us. Moment by moment, these other thoughts come out. Because you always heard that that's what you learned, that's what you saw, that's what you lived your walk of faith like, and that's what you have experienced. So it's not only Christ. You try to do only, but when there's a problem or incident, then you go back to your legalism or you go back to your unhealthy mysticism. It's like, I just have to pray no matter what. I must pray to God and receive answers. And just go and pray and do nothing else. And that's when you're a little not sure of the gospel that you proclaimed and that you confessed. But Jesus took the three disciples that confessed this and took them out to Mount Transfiguration. Why? To heal all these three deep things. May you heal these deep things that's inside of you. And this is Moses was gone. Elijah was gone. And only Jesus remained. We need this transfiguration, this transformation, right? Moses, Elijah, all these other things seems good, but it may become a burden, a distraction in your walk of faith. What must be gone? Our legalism must be gone. Our unhealthy mysticism must be gone, right? That mysticism, that chi, that, you know, that feeling must be gone. And only the gospel remained. Only gospel remained. Now they changed like this. With this amazing confession of faith, now their spiritual state has changed in saying it's only Jesus Christ, but look. But, fourth, Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 46. They went on Mount Transfiguration, they came down, and when they were home, quickly a problem came to them. You come to church, you come to worship, and you receive so much grace, but you go home and there's an immediate problem. What must you do then? And what's the problem for Peter, right? He gave his boat to his brothers. He has no money with him. And he just followed Jesus with empty-handed. And he follows Jesus, and there are a lot of miracles happen. A lot of things are happening. And now he's been following Jesus because, you know, he doesn't need any money when he was Jesus. And with Jesus, he arises many miracles. So if I just stick with him, right, the disciples are fighting among themselves who is the right hand or left hand of Jesus Christ, because the closer they are to Jesus, they think they can receive more answers. And they confess Jesus Christ and they went to Matthew. They thought they changed, but where does their change not take place? When they go back to their home. They're still in the same space. Right now they have the problem of paying taxes. They don't have money. I mean, you must have money to pay taxes. But they don't have the money to pay tax. But what does Jesus say? It's go fish and there'll be a gold coin in the fish and you just pay that as a tax. But this is when Peter starts to receive answers. When he had nothing. When there's a great crisis. You start to receive amazing answers here. And experiences something amazing here. Faith isn't about things going taking place according to what you think. Faith is believing that Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God is with you. That you're being guided by Him. Do you follow His word? Right, even if we believe in Jesus, there are many hardships and problems in our lives. And problems of tax, problems of economy, problems of our food. There are many hardships, difficulties in our life, and a lot of sufferings in our lives. But this is when Peter starts to receive many answers. He starts to confirm the faith in him that, oh, Christ is truly Christ, and he is the rock. And no matter how much force darkness is beyond me, he cannot overcome me anymore, right? Peter is confirming that even I have nothing, he started to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and answers started to come. And that's when amazing answers began. When you start to experience these things, every time you confirm this, you realize, I don't need the things of Moses, the laws of Moses. Oh, it's not just about praying. Oh, I don't need this unhealthy mysticism inside of me. Lads, only Jesus Christ remains. When this answer is in you, you have the true answer. About we're humans, we have to live, we have to do this, we have to do that. And we use our methods, we use those kind of things, we do this and that.